The government is facing fresh calls to ban what's known as conversion therapy, which is aimed at changing gay people's sexuality. The Labour MP Ben Bradshaw raised the issue in the House of Commons.
This so-called therapy does dreadful, dreadful damage to young people emotionally and psychologically, and it's long overdue to be banned.
Well, the Church of England's ruling body voted for a ban on the practice last year, but government ministers haven't yet met with church campaigners to discuss the issue. Now, the Conservative MP and Church Commissioner Caroline Spelman has committed herself to setting up a meeting with the Minister in charge, Jackie Doyle-Price, who's previously said that the government doesn't recognise this therapy as a legitimate treatment. But Ms Spelman says the government has no current plans to ban or restrict it through legislation because existing voluntary registers already provide safeguards for the public.
Well, Dr. Mike Davidson joins us from Belfast. He's the chief executive of the Core Issues Trust, a charity that says it challenges gender confusion. Good afternoon.
Hello there.
And Matthew Shirker is from New York. He underwent conversion therapy over in the States for 5 years and is now a leading advocate to make the practice illegal there. Matthew, hello to you.
Hi.
Matthew, talk us through, first of all, you're the one who's had this conversion therapy most recently. So talk us through your experience.
So I started as a teenager. I was 16 years old, growing up in the New York City area. And when I came out to my father, he welcomed my coming out and accepted me. But in his own research, wanted to see what his options were or how he could support me. And he had never heard of conversion therapy or reparative therapy. And when he had a clinician explain to him that there is no such thing as homosexuality and that there were options for me in therapy, my father thought that would be the best suited decision for me. So at age of 16, I began my 5 years of conversion therapy, where I was explained that childhood traumas were the root cause for my same-sex attractions. And the treatment varied throughout the 5 years, but I basically had to defeminize. I was separated from my mother and two sisters for 3 years, so I didn't learn effeminate behavior or recognize myself in them in my attractions for men. I had to keep women as the mysterious opposite sex, as my conversion therapist explained to me at the time. I say that very factually, but of course it had a huge impact on my life being separated from my mom and my sisters. I come from a very conservative family, and we were very close in relationships. So that put me through depression, contemplating suicide, forcing myself to have sex with women, the use of Viagra pills, meeting hundreds to thousands of other patients and boys like me in the United States who were going through the very same process.
And Matthew, what's your sexuality now?
I identify as a gay man. I'm attracted to men. I've had relationships both with men and women, but I definitely have a preference.
Yeah. Dr. Mike Davidson, you have given this therapy, but you've also received this therapy yourself as well. You have a different opinion on it to Matthew.
Well, we don't offer conversion therapy. We think that that's a disparaging term that really drums up notions of flipping some kind of switch so that one moment you're gay and the next minute you aren't. But what we do offer is therapeutic support for unwanted same-sex attractions, and we take seriously the aspirations of men and women who, for whatever reason, feel they want to come out of the gay lifestyle and live and go in a different direction.
When you say unwanted, do you mean unwanted by the individual or unwanted by society?
Well, we would be very careful to make sure that anybody who comes in our direction is there of their own accord. They're not there because they've been sent by a church or by a family member or by a spouse, but they have worked through the issues sufficiently to know what their goal is. And we think it's a matter of personal right and personal autonomy that needs to be respected.
I'd really like you two to talk to each other about this. Matthew, you heard what Dr. Mike Davidson had to say there. What do you make of that?
Well, I'm grateful for Michael to being on the interview with me, so I appreciate that first and foremost. I do disagree, and I think this is the danger of the practice. All conversion therapists are therapists, and they know how to treat patients and treat anxiety and treat self-esteem. And in my experience, all of my conversion therapists were great people in my life. I looked up to them. They were loving and caring for me. And that was what was so dangerous, because none of that actually ever had to change, had anything to do with changing my sexual orientation or the fact that I was attracted to men or women. And that's what's so manipulative about the practice. And every conversion therapist really believes in their work. And it's hard, because when you say unwanted same-sex attraction, I mean, that's like saying we only treat people who don't want depression versus people who want depression. And we have to understand that same-sex attraction is not an illness. It is a part of our being what a human being. It exists in all species, and it's just, I mean, I can keep going down that road, but there's nothing to be treated. And that's what the health organizations say in the UK, in the US, and other countries that are taking those steps forward. Mm. But I like the analogy of depression and using that as an example.
Dr. Mike Davidson, I mean, listening to what Matthew says there, why do you think that the kind of therapy that you practice shouldn't be made illegal?
Simply because there is a population group that is unsatisfied with their expression of sexuality. They are aware of the dangers of so-called systemic homophobia. They are aware of the fact that society has had deep prejudices towards gay people. But for whatever reason, they don't want to continue to go in that direction. Perhaps they've tried it, it hasn't worked for them, or they have begun new relationships and they want to maximize this side of their lives. And I think that needs to be taken very seriously. This is not about cure. This is not about treatment. We don't use a medical model. We are not in any way interested in putting gay people in a category of having some kind of disease. We are simply taking seriously the aspirations of adult people who wish to move away from practices and who find, as they move away from the practices, the feelings often, but not always, reduce significantly. And we think that that's something that needs to be protected. We're not saying that nobody should live according to gay values that they hold important. That's the difference, I think, between what Matthew and I are saying here. What we are saying is that this population group needs to be protected in their right.
Matthew?
Sure. Michael, you're a clinical therapist?
I trained as a psychodrama psychotherapist, but because of my ideas, I was not allowed to continue my training. Such is the oppression, I would say, in this area, that we cannot allow diversity of points of view, and therefore we only have one consistent point of view that says that homosexuality is to be affirmed in all cases. That's fundamentally the problem that I have with all of this. It's that we cannot disagree with, we cannot allow different points of view here. I think that this is an appalling travesty of this issue.
You do have, as a therapist, you do have a responsibility to how you treat people, and I understand.
Absolutely.
you because of your ideas are different, you do your work differently, but you also have a medical impact on all of your patients, which is why this has been so alarming here in the US and in the UK, that people who've gone through conversion therapy have the highest suicide rate amongst the entire LGBT community, and there's a responsibility for you there as well.
Well,
Let me just finish. It's just that the cause or the reason for your support is on a societal issue, that people don't want this. And because there's a prejudice, you said there's a prejudice that exists and people don't want to be a part of it, whether they tried it, it wasn't for them. And to just say, okay, well, I'll live a heterosexual life, whatever that means, versus understanding what the LGBT movement was, is to create love and acceptance.
Okay, let's let Matthew come back to that. Matthew?
I think that we always have to have checks and balances, and certainly no side of the argument really should allow itself to shut down the other side of the argument. What we need is diversity in viewpoints so that research can be balanced instead of one-sided.